This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to the award-winning Folk Music Hour.
Hello, I'm David. It's time I got on with bringing you the next exciting installments of my history of the instruments of folk music. I envisage a 10-part series and get a couple done a year. To recap, and you'll find the podcasts in our archive, the series began in 2022 with the voice, our oldest instrument, and percussion, expressing the sense of rhythm that seems part of our DNA. Then I looked at sounds we made by blowing things, refining bone whistles and seashell trumpets all the way to the Irish flute. Then our invention of stretching strings and tuning them to make a pleasing sound. More than 300 string instruments have been invented by the folk musics of the world, some of which are in our fourth program in the series from last year called Pluck. This year I thought I'd investigate the invention of other ways to make strings vibrate. First, the evolution of instruments played with a bow, so notes can last longer. 15,000 years ago, a wall painting in the Trois Frères cave in France depicts what some believe is a musical bow, a hunting bow used as a single-stringed instrument. We investigated this idea in the second and fourth programs of our series. But when came the idea of getting a whole bunch of animal hairs, say from a horse's tail, and building them into a bow you can hold and draw across a string? The mid-5th century, so 400-something, scholars think. So the bow predates the violin by many centuries. The very earliest bows were simply dowels with horsehair attached to the tip of the stick through a slit. In the intervening millennium and a half, bows have become the work of master craftspeople. What spurred this development, I think, was the advantage of going beyond plucked notes. To achieving long sustained notes. Irresistible. The whole idea, scholars consider, arose in Central Asia. Here's Delpa, an Iranian woman artist playing folk music from Balochistan on a gaychak, a bowed lute, with many variants and names according to which culture in Central Asia you're listening to. In Petra, Jordan, a Bedouin plays the rebab. The rebab, loads of pictures on the web. Intriguingly, some have vellum stretched over the face, and a bridge supporting the strings sits on the vellum exactly the way the ekonting and the banjo were to have centuries later. So the development of sounds you get if you stretch animal hair and draw it across a string to get a note is a fascinating story. Who came up with the idea is difficult to pinpoint, but an ancient civilization centered on Samarkand may hold the answer. It is thought that the Silk Road played a part in spreading this fertile idea to China. The idea of friction on a string to sustain the notes started with sticks. The next piece sounds like a westernized hybrid, but the bowing seems authentic. Mm-hmm. playing the yarzheng, described as a rubbed bridge zither. Rosin, as its name suggests, is resin to rub on a stick or bow to get a grip, as it were. The guzheng or yarzheng became popular in the Tang Dynasty. You can hear it in the folk music of some parts of northern China, where it's called the yakin. And there's a Korean equivalent of the ajang, widely played today. Closer to continental Europe, it seems the bow drawn across strings goes back to at least the Byzantine era, which began about the year 400 when the Roman Empire was split. That tallies with the birth date of the bow I mentioned earlier. So the idea of bowing strings was perhaps first read about in Europe when described by a 9th century Persian geographer. Writing about instruments, he cited the lira or lura as a typical instrument of the Byzantines, equivalent to the rabab or spike fiddle played in the Islamic empires. This thin-bodied kamanche is known as the Black Sea fiddle. The vellum is stretched over a larger gourd body. Lira spread widely westward to Europe. In the 11th and 12th centuries, European folks used the terms fiddle and lira interchangeably when referring to bowed instruments. The degree of musicianship expanded mightily. Here, Derian Turkan plays the tiny three-stringed Turkish kamanche. And the Persian kamanche, played here by Negat Karkan, a modern descendant of these spike fiddles. A beautiful bowl-shaped wooden resonating chamber with a small vellum balanced on the lap, four strings, with notes and tones that our Western ears can grasp. Today, bowed instruments centre on the violin family. Early examples in Europe were balanced on your lap, upright, the same as the bowed lutes or rebabs of Asia. A wealth of music was played on them. This is Emilio Villalba playing an oval-shaped viel. Thank you. Emilio Villalba. That sounds remarkably like a fiddle tune. Indeed, he calls his viol a fidel medieval. The viol had 3 to 5 gut strings and came to have a leaf-shaped peg box with frontal tuning pegs, sometimes with a figure-eight-shaped body, and it clearly looks like a forerunner of the violin. Does viol give us fiddle via the Latin fidula? Is the bowed lira the origin? There's Old English fithele, related to Old Norse fithla, also a word in Icelandic. Accompanied by a mandolin, here's an ancient Danish instrument, a sort of bowed lyre. Difficult to describe on radio, you'll have to search the web. But there are examples of similar bowed instruments in all the Scandinavian folk cultures. And in the Shetlands, with its Norse-Scottish culture, it's called a gyu. A melody string and a drone, the Shetland gyu. Over the centuries, Europe continued to have two distinct types of fiddles. One, relatively square-shaped, became known as the viola di braccio, held in the arm, and it evolved into the violin. Here, Valentino Nicolai plays a cotillini instrument from the early 1500s. The other, with sloping shoulders and held between the knees, was the viola da gamba, or leg viol, which evolved into the cello. Johanna Rose is playing one with 7 strings and frets. During the Renaissance, the gambas were important and elegant instruments. They eventually lost ground to the louder and originally less aristocratic viola da braccio family. Oddly enough, you'll see American fiddle players holding their instrument in the crook of their arms rather than tucked under the chin, leaving the neck and throat free so you can sing. It's probably simplistic to say the instruments held upright evolved into the violin and classical music, while the smaller ones held against the chest evolved into the fiddle and folk music. Jordi Savall playing a large viol or viol. His early Spanish music ensemble has baroque guitar, harp and some percussion. Is this folk? Does this finally settle the idea of where the line is drawn between folk and classical? That's to say, let's not draw a line at all. It's all classic folk. How about this sling polska played on a lira da braccio? Doesn't it sound remarkably like a folk tune on a fiddle? Jeanette Erickshawn playing a lira da braccio. It's beyond my brief to describe the creation of the violin we know today. Scholarship about this I'll leave to you, though The Red Violin is a movie I recommend. But let's take it as read, so to speak, and come into modern times. And I'm going to say violin for the instrument played in the classical tradition, which I love. Say the word fiddle for folk music, which I also love. Musicians of the Romani people took to the fiddle with gusto. You can hear it in this music from Romania. Traditional music from Romania that has graced many a concert stage. You're with the Folk Music Hour from the studios of community station Access Radio Taranaki in New Plymouth, New Zealand. And in this, our fifth program about the instruments of folk, we're exploring music made by bowing an instrument. We might need another Folk Music Hour to share more of these artists who, of course, deserve our deep thanks. I hope you'll buy their music. The bow of modern times is a craft as skilled in its way as making the instruments you play with it. The thing which holds the near end of the horsehair and adjusts the tension, believe it or not, is called the frog. Ebony is most often used, or other decorative materials, ivory and tortoise shell. Mother of pearl or power shell may be used on the slide that covers the mortise. The Brazilian wood is too rare now, so fiberglass and carbon fiber ones are being developed. The horse is, of course, the source of the long hairs. You need about 170 for each violin bow, so the noble beast is not best pleased. When all said and done, we're left with the fiddle, a bowed instrument of global reach that has done most of its evolving in Europe, with a huge catalogue of folk tunes to enjoy. From Germany. In Finland, Antti Ravala plays a polska. There's fiddle in Poland. In Estonia, Maria Nutt, who played Womad Taranaki in 2019, is joined by Karolina Krental. Two fiddles. There's the gypsy music of Russia. Hungary, there's also a distinct gypsy feel to Buba Mara by Katika Ilenyi. From Sweden, Anna Lundblatt recorded at a fiddle workshop in Vermont, demonstrating the old saying, have fiddle, we'll travel. Also in Scandinavia, they've evolved the multi-stringed nyckelharpa, held like a guitar, a strap around your neck, and you press the strings down with little keys. That's Thomas Roth, and here's Mykur playing a Danish folk song with her nyckelharpa. Some of the old ballad of Ramund, Denmark's Mykur. In Norway, the Hardanger fiddle has a set of sympathetic strings as well as the four melody ones. This is Ari Johnson. The nine-string Hardanger fiddle, the joke is you spend as much time tuning it as playing it. Turning to the Anglo-American tradition, we've heard at the Auckland Folk Festival the fiddle playing of Dave Swarbrick with Martin Carthy's guitar. Katie Adelson plays a normally slow strathspey from Scotland, perking it up a bit, reminding us that fiddle tunes and dancing are inextricable. You can't keep your feet still. Famous for playing in the transatlantic sessions, the Shetland fiddler Ali Bain now. Scottish fiddle tunes are great. To Wales now, where some folk tunes are fiddled by Angara Jenkins with her mother Delith playing the harp. Welsh folk from the Jenkins, Mère et Fille, and across the water, the fiddle is as much a part of Irish folk as the Clachsach. Hilary Klug is a Tennessean who multitracks herself here with the swallowtail jig, clog dancing at the same time. ¶¶ an Irish jig. Hillary can't keep still either. Needless to say, musicians from every one of these European nations were among the huddled masses yearning to be free. The French took their music to Canada, where Jean Carignan's a well-known Québécois, here with the Hangman's Reel. Du Pendu, Jean Carignan, who wowed the crowd at the Newport Folk Festival. There's more fine fiddling in Canada and the Maritimes than you can shake a bow at. The fine Canadian fiddler Natalie McMaster, who plays in both the Scottish and French traditions, and her husband Donald Leahy have three children who are learning, so it's really something to see the whole family. Natalie McMaster and her children and husband there, five fiddles. It runs in the family. In the folk clubs of New Zealand, it's hard to go past the delight we feel when we hear the fiddle. Everyone wants New Plymouth's Chrissy Jackson to play in their set, and Canadian Gillian Boucher, a Cape Breton fiddler, lives here and is well known to Kiwi audiences. Thank you. some of a set of slip jigs from Gillian with backup guitar by Seth Peters. From Dunedin, the duo Catgut and Steel feature the fab fiddling of Anna Bowen. Folk Internet Radio founder Mike Moroney, happy to back the perfect fiddle playing of Anna Bowen. They call themselves Catgut and Steel for the differing strings needed for a guitar and a fiddle, though probably no cats were harmed in the making of their records. And from the 60s, doing more for the fiddle than the whole symphony orchestra, the famous player and teacher Colleen Trenwith plays the four-poster bed with the frog hopping around the fiddle representing the four posts. Colleen Trenwith, who never forgot the sustain and tone of the violin lessons of her youth. Thank you. last part of my song, Charlotte, a session with Colleen I'll always treasure. The storied music of the fiddle in the New World could fill 10 folk music hours. In the Appalachian regions, fiddling featured in what we might call Euro-American folk, which, when its own folk stories became songs, created a kind of folk known today as old-timey, the new lost city ramblers. Leaving Home, the Frankie and Johnny story with Mike Seeger's old-timey fiddle. The extraordinary musicians among the descendants of slaves whose creation of the banjo we've covered in our Juneteenth folk music hour took to the fiddle with gusto. They played orchestral music for formal dancing on antebellum plantations and after emancipation evolved a unique folk music that underlies every genre on the radio today. The Piedmont artist Rhiannon Giddens shows us which way is up. Rhiannon and colleagues, the Carolina Chocolate Drops. Perhaps the apotheosis of two or more millennia of bowed folk music, from ancient Persia to the present day, is the fiddler of the Bluegrass Band, that extraordinary blend of old-timey Celtic and Afro-American folk stirred over a warm fire in the melting pot of the American mountain valleys. Monroe's Bluegrass Boys, and here, sheeting bluegrass home to its antecedents in the old country, with Kenny Baker and Bobby Hicks playing the fiddles, Scotland. Scotland from the father of bluegrass, Bill Monro, whose mandolin is, after all, an eight-string instrument in fiddle tuning. It'll show up again in our next program. Well, the Instruments of Folk series moves on. So far, we might call them sing, beat, blow, pluck, and bow. And next time, our sixth will be called pick. I do hope you're enjoying them. Less talk, more play, you may be thinking. Fair enough. But find these artists and support them. They're brilliant. I'd be content just to carry their luggage. We'll venture forth with New Zealand's Hamilton County, whose fiddler, the late Colleen Trenwith, was beloved and respected here and in America. Her bowing showed an uncommon power, and her violin-trained intonation was brilliant. She was a very special part of the story of folk in New Zealand. We were lucky enough just to vamp along. See you further down the track. So long.
Listening to the Folk Music Hour, a weekly broadcast on Access Radio Taranaki, thanks to New Zealand On Air, Irirangi Te Motu. All our shows are available to podcast. Just search for Folk Music Hour. Kia ora.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.